Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Cain Cross, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama, and good afternoon to the listeners. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm blessed and excited about this slot.
Lovely, man. I'm excited as well to have you once again here. We are talking about overcoming anxiety. And if you missed out yesterday, by the way, and you're only tuning in today, we are having a Pastor Cain Cross who has actually joined us from yesterday and is going to be with us until Friday talking about this subject, dissecting it. And so if you want to be part of it, please do send us your message, a text to +27 734703520. Now, faith and fear are in constant struggle with each other. Faith in dark times is hard, but it's also an act of courage to stand in the dark and believe that there is light somewhere around you. The smallest flame in the dark has an impact. So your faith doesn't have to be huge. It just needs a flicker to help one to shift one's perspective. Now, I want to look at the connection between courage and faith this afternoon. The pastor is going to be helping us to do that. Now, Pastor, how does studying the Bible and understanding God's word contribute to the greater sense of courage?
Thank you, sir. Studying the Bible builds courage, not by eliminating fear, but by giving us a foundation that is stronger than our fears. And it happens in four different ways when we study the Bible. It reveals God's character first, and the more we read the Bible, the more you understand who God is. You see His sovereignty. He controls everything. He's omnipotent, and he's all-powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then also His faithfulness, that He keeps His promises. And lastly, His sacrificial love. And therefore, courage grows when you know that the one who is with you is greater than the challenges you face. And David wrote in Psalms 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And that is the first way. The second one, it reminds us when we read the Bible that of God's promises. And God promises His presence in Matthew 28:20, His provision in Philippians 4:19. He promises His peace in John 14:27, and ultimate victory over sin and death, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. And when fear arises, meditating on these specific promises grounds our emotions in truth rather than circumstances. The third one we touched on yesterday, and it provides the history of God's faithfulness. And we spoke about Abraham and Moses and David and Esther. And when we look at that, it gives us perspective of God's track record and how we can trust Him also. Lastly, it equips us with truth, because fear often thrives in lies. Lies about our inadequacy, our future, and God's intentions. And the Bible described as the sword of spirit in Ephesians 6 verse 17, which is our primary tool for combating these lies with God's truth. That's your answer, my brother.
Mm. Beautiful one, and I love that you've actually covered many areas as that answer has been coming through. Now, what does it mean to be strong and of good courage, according to Joshua 1? And I think you closed with that as well yesterday, as Joshua was instructed. What does that actually mean?
So it's important for us to have the context of the verse, and maybe I must read the whole verse for us.
Okay.
"Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You see, this command comes right after the death of Moses, and Joshua is now tasked with leading the Israelites. And you can imagine that he was He was, of course, overwhelmed, felt inadequate, and fearful. And when we look at these two words, be strong and of good courage, the Hebrew for strong is chazah, and this refers more than just physical strength. It means to be resolute, to be firm, and steadfast. It's a call for mental and spiritual fortitude to hold fast to God's command and not waver under pressure. And then the other word of good courage, amatz, is the Hebrew word, which implies to be bold and determined in action. It's not about feeling fearless, but about choosing to act rightly and obediently despite feeling fear, like we said yesterday. It's a proactive, determined resolve. So already you decide, I am a person of faith and courage. So this is crucial part of the verse, and the reason why Joshua can be strong and courageous, it says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the second part is also important. The command is not a self-help mantra to try harder. It's a call to anchor his strength and courage in an unwavering reality of God's presence. His courage was come from the confidence in God, not from his CV or who he is, you know.
Lovely. Now, why would you say is important for Christians in particular to be courageous? I mean, so sometimes they say allow yourself to be weak, allow yourself to be vulnerable, allow yourself to doubt. And I don't know if those are necessary, but yeah, we're talking about courage. Why is it important for Christians to actually master some courage?
I would say Christians should be courageous. We are soldiers of the cross. And never can you tell a soldier to be weak, you know. I know we have moments of weaknesses, but we are called to be courageous and focus and to stand though the heavens fall. So just three short points on the, on this. The first thing is that our purpose is embedded in the Great Commission. And Matthew 28 verse 19 calls on us to fulfill the Great Commission. And Jesus commands his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. So it's important for us to be courageous and be on the go for the agenda of heaven. And then secondly, to stand for truth. Matthew 5 verse 13 to 16, we are asked to be the salt of the world, the light of the world. And this involves upholding biblical morality and truth, even when it's unpopular, Zama. We are called for that, you know. And then lastly, to love sacrificially. True Christian love, the agape love, are costly. And it means forgiving and starting over, even in inconvenience, putting the needs of others before your own, and act with love and unselfishness, putting our pride aside to overcome self and be godly, be Christ-like. You know? So that's why we should have courage. And all of those take courage.
Yeah, indeed, they do take courage. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, Now, Pastor, can we, or are we able to discern, you know, the difference between worldly courage and biblical courage? In fact, is there even a difference?
Yes, when we look at worldly courage and biblical courage, there is a fundamental difference, and it's embedded in three aspects. What is the source of the courage? What is the motive of the courage? And what is the goal of the courage? And can I make an analogy for you quickly? When you look at worldly courage, the source is self-reliance, pride, adrenaline, reputation, my training, my background, and what I'm proud about, you know. While biblical courage, acknowledgement of God's presence and power, reliance fully on the Holy Spirit. And that is just a source of the courage. The next aspect is the motive. The motive of worldly courage is to gain personal glory, prove one's strength, avoid shame, and achieve personal ambition. And while biblical courage has a motive to glorify God, to obey His commands, and to love and serve others in spite of self. The foundation, then, when we look at, we said the motive, and the source, the motive, and the goal. And when we look at our goal, the confidence in one's abilities to reach your goal lies in a worldly ideology when it comes to worldly courage. But the confidence in God's character and His promises and His sovereign plan for us from here to eternity is where biblical courage is found. So we move and we breathe and we live in God, and that is where our courage stems from, you know?
Yeah, man, it's a beautiful, thought. Is it easy, though? It doesn't sound easy.
It's not easy at all. We do falter. We sometimes fail to stand up, to speak up, or just to love, you know, when the unlovable, and to reach the unreachable people in our community. That takes courage to step out of your comfort zone. But I guess, Zama, the more we practice, the more we will become who Christ wants us to become.
That's good, man. And I suppose it takes practice. Maybe one may try a few times, and at some point you then are a courageous, consistent Christian, I suppose.
Yes, definitely. When we continuously imply the principles into our life that God wants us to do, it then become part of our lifestyle. It become our habit. It become our culture. And we then become who God wants us to be, you know. And the opposite is true. If we just stand when we want and when it's convenient for us and do the way we want to do it, when we feel like, and that will be the type of Christians we are, the followers of Christ, you know.
Man. Yeah. You want to wrap it up, Pastor, before I let you go, please?
Just some
highlights of our discussion today before we say goodbye.
Definitely. I would say, in short, worldly courage says, I can do this. While biblical courage says, I cannot do this, but God can do it through me. It is courage born not of self-confidence, but God-confidence that is consistent and is evident in the life of His children. You know, we are also called to trust God's sovereign plan as an antidote for fear, and it provides for us an ultimate perspective, you know, on what God has in store, that all things work together for good, no matter where you are in your journey. You know, God will work it out, and it reframes the control of God, that He is there, and it guarantees the final outcome, you know, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we take that into consideration, it gives us the confidence to stand and to do what is right in spite of circumstances. Ne?
Yeah. Mm. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through. It's always, always fulfilling, and I must say, quite enlightening moments when we have these conversations. Thank you so much. Blessings to you, and of course, blessings to the rest of the family. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and the same place.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the listeners. God bless you, sir.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.